Tuesday, June the 1st, Lucy's graduation day. Red letter, great day in our lives. I routed poor Jean-Louis out at dawn for a shampoo and set at the White House. My hair stiff as an African bushman's from a week spent with ABC and constant spraying and from riding windblown on fast boats. And then at 10 o'clock, ready for the cathedral, ushering Maddie, Tony, and Diana into one car so that they would be ready right behind us for the split-second departure of Lyndon, Lindbergh, and me. Caught between sympathy for him and impatience because of the importance of the day, I fretted nervously, but we were only 5 minutes late. And then into the great gray cathedral, Lyndon and I seated on the front row, and Lyndon escorted to a chair below the pulpit. On the way in, I had passed, to my great delight, Willie Day, Helen, and Jean. Lucy had not forgotten them, but I'd been sad to meet Zephyr, just as I'd boarded the elevator leaving the White House, looking ashen and being helped by the arm upstairs to lie down. She was ill, all dressed for the graduation, but didn't feel like going. I am worried about Zephyr. The ceremony was all pomp and display. What a beautiful instrument is the voice of Dean Sayre. Frail, scholarly-looking Bishop Creighton was there, and also solid, masculine Bishop Hines from Texas. The class filed in. Lucy looked lovely in a long-sleeve, white dress, lace that she had designed and Lucinda had made. Her hair black and glossy, her face angelic, uplifted. When they called out the cum laudes, she was not among them. But to her great credit, her grades have been better and better each semester for the last year and a half. That, under the shock of the change in our lives, I am very proud of her. I was proud, too, of Lyndon's speech. He warmed up to it by saying that he would miss the small consolation of knowing that no matter how much homework the night held for him, that Lucy had brought home more from National Cathedral, and then asking their pardon for being a rather solemn old man.